Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hello, Father Matt. Welcome back. Here we are.
It's hard to believe. Chapter 16 already.
Yes, we are.
Motoring along. And thanks, I just want to say thank you to those of you who have been listening since the introduction and chapter one of John's Gospel.
Yes.
It's been quite a journey for me to just sort of dig into it, to go into the Gospel in a non-liturgical way, you know, to typically Catholics, myself included, study the Gospel episodically through the liturgy. But this has been a little bit more, how shall I say, methodically just going right through the Gospel.
Yeah, and that's so what I love about it.
Yeah, it's been good for me.
You know, as a lector, as a reader, I tell people that, well, there are three cycles, you know, and we all have a lector book, all of us lectors, and maybe others. You know, whatever year we're in, all three cycles over time, we read the Gospel. We read the Bible, do we not, for the most part?
Yeah, a good chunk of it we do. But you'd have to also include in that going to weddings and funerals. When you look at all of it, it covers a good chunk of the Bible, you know, all the liturgies together. So most people aren't, you know, going to those other liturgies, or they are, they're listening to the same Gospel. You know, do not let your hearts be troubled.
Exactly.
You know,
yes. We just had a funeral at Cabrini, St. Francis Cabrini, this past Wednesday. And we have had more funerals than we've had weddings, you know, for us. And I'll say in the last year. But as a lector, I'm talking about episodic. Still, as a lector, we read... Well, if one wants to, we can read more, and I love reading like before and after whatever that those readings are. I read everything. I read, you know, both readings and the Gospel, and I try to delve into it. But that's still episodic. And I, to your point, yes,
which is okay.
It is okay.
Give us today our daily bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, don't give me the whole loaf.
Yeah.
Let's just take a little bit at a time. It's done, served me well over the past 24 years, 25 if you count my diaconate. So.
Yeah. But just to your point, I mean, this approach, what you are bringing to our listeners is excellent.
Thank you. Doing my best, letting God do the rest. I'm a poet. Didn't even know it. Such skill.
Yeah,
such untapped talents.
Do you have a ghostwriter? I mean, he or she gives you your script?
Or it.
Or it.
Yeah.
Anyways. So.
So chapter 16.
Yeah, shall we start? Shall I start?
Absolutely.
Chapter 16.
Positively.
Chapter 16 of the Gospel of St. John. I have said all this to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them, the work of the Spirit. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Sorrow will turn into joy. A little while, and you will see me no more. Again, a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I go to the Father? They said, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he means. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is in travail, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a child is born into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Peace for the disciples. I have said this to you in figures. The hour is coming when I shall no longer speak to you in figures, but tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure. Now we know that you know all things, and need none to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? The hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
So as we start to dig a little bit deeper on this, Jesus begins this chapter with trying to help us to understand the reality of evil in the world. And then he goes on to...
No small task. Well, for many.
Well, maybe
for some of us.
Maybe it better be put rather than understand evil, which I'll do my best to get into here, but to not be surprised by evil. You know, like, I cannot tell you. It's 30 years ago was the last time I used to regularly watch the news. It was like trying to shock us into evil. I mean, I have to be careful that I'm not ignorant of world events and local events, but, like, yeah, I mean, this is the human condition, you know, that evil is real. So when I hear people, you know, they might hear the latest scandal coming out of Hollywood, to which I say, well, what do you expect? This is this is why Jesus came.
Or Washington, or anywhere.
Or anywhere. Church.
Yes. Church,
right?
Yeah.
Anywhere. It's not that we're apathetic to fighting evil, quite the opposite. But, yeah, this is humanity. This is why Christ came. It's probably a good response, you know, to any of us when somebody says, hey, did you hear about the senator so-and-so? I think a good response might be, yeah, that's why Christ came, right?
Yes.
That's why we need Jesus, right, to save.
All the time.
That's why he saved us from sin. Mm-hmm. I think also noteworthy in this chapter, Dave, is the catechesis, the proper catechesis that Jesus Christ gives to us on the namesake of this radio station, the Holy Spirit. You know, so often the third person of the Blessed Trinity is people who say they speak on behalf of the church. They give like a really poor impression on what the Spirit, who the Spirit is and what the Spirit does. Well, I'm going to get into this a little bit here.
I was just going to ask, could you flesh that out a little bit?
Yeah,
more?
I mean, I'll do my best.
Or
when,
for an
when
example?
I get to, when I get, you know, let's say, for example, somebody says, well, the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. All right, well, let's say, for example, I ask a retired priest to come help us. Mm-hmm. At it, and the retired priest says, well, let me pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then says to me, the Holy Spirit said no. What if I said back to that guy, well, it's funny because I prayed too, and the Holy Spirit said you were supposed to. Like,
yes.
Now we're at a stalemate, you know, like, so.
Loggerheads or little,
yeah,
little
yeah, spiritual loggerheads.
Loggerheads.
Like, so you can't just say, like, as if I have a direct line to the Holy Spirit and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Jesus gets it, and that takes place a lot.
Yes,
at least in my world.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the case with the retired priest, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, "Well, let me pray about that."
I was just going to say that.
Okay, anytime that happens anymore, I say, "Fine, just remember this: I'm praying about it too."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Like, so I think Jesus cuts through a lot of that in this chapter when he teaches us about what the job of the Holy Spirit is, how we know who the Holy Spirit
or
is.
Or another quick phrase. I mean, the Holy Spirit has put it on my heart.
There you go. That's what I mean.
I hear a lot of that.
Exactly.
I use that sometimes. But
yeah.
I know it's coming from a genuine
place.
Yeah,
I believe it. Sure. And that happens, right? The Spirit
does do
that.
I do pray about a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
And if I come to my decision, well, then I attribute it to that's where the Holy Spirit wanted me to go with this.
I always say, like, leading the parish that I lead, Our Lady of Mount Carmel here in Doylestown, I always say that, look, I make decisions. They are not infallible decisions. But so it's not like, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. They're not infallible.
Mm-hmm.
They may be wrong decisions, but for whatever reason, Archbishop Perez entrusted me with the governance of the parish and with mm-hmm. all of my warts. So I'll do my best, mm-hmm. you know, to be a man of prayer and to guide the parish where I think the Holy Spirit wants to. But it doesn't, I in no way do I believe that this is the way it's got to go. Now, I do have to make decisions and live with the consequences of those decisions, mm-hmm. both good and bad. But
yes.
But I think we need a little, all of us need a little bit of humility in saying, I'm going to pray. I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me this, but I'm not infallible in that belief. I am infallible, however, when I say that Jesus Christ is present, body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. That I'm infallible for.
Mm-hmm.
Without question, because God is the one who said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other thing, too, I just want to point out before I get into this is that image our Lord gives of labor pains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sometimes, oftentimes, doing the right thing, it's painful. But as when a woman gives birth to the child, I mean, my mom, as much as she rightfully complained about me, she never said, I knew I should have learned you were going to be like this because those labor pains were so bad. You know, mm-hmm. you forget that.
Yes.
And I think you forget when you're living in the resurrection, wherever you are in life, maybe you don't forget the crucifixion, but it's like, wow, it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that
well,
may
then
be.
That phraseology, I mean, the anguish goes away because when the mother realizes the joy of the newborn.
Right.
All that goes away. Or all that is forgotten.
Yeah. Let me talk a little bit about evil here, okay? So I think it's important for our listeners.
Are we going to double the time of this session? No, just
no. It's Marty Pants. So evil has, and this is really important, it has no home of its own. Evil is simply a parasite on goodness, right? And so by that, I mean, let's look at the Pietà by Michelangelo.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if I get a can of red paint and I splash it on there, that evil had no existence on its own. It just looked at a good and then tried to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the signs of detecting evil when there's a good thing and it's torn down. It's trying. That's evil, as opposed to, this is an example that I think of often, and please feel free to stop by my office and if I'm wrong here in telling this. But I think of the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, you know, where people were saying, well, girls have a right to be on the Boy Scouts. I always remember saying, can't you form your own thing? Calling it Scout Across America, where you're going to have boys and girls? Why do you have to, you know, like, so...
Distinguish.
Yeah,
and
like, we're
separate,
doing... We did this. We created that. Not me, but we created this Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Go do your own thing. Why do you have to tear this down? Exactly. So it's looking at a good... And is it the worst evil in the world? No, but it's... evil is properly defined the privation of good. Mm. So it looks at good and it's... Okay. So... Anyone truly wishing to follow Jesus, who is goodness personified, can expect to be persecuted by those who choose to pursue evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we shouldn't be, again, as I said at the outset, surprised by the reality of evil. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do good, look at the good of marriage, for example. You know, people try to tear down marriage by, say, glorifying infidelity. And that sort of thing, right? So it's looking at the good of monogamy and tearing it down by infidelity. That's what evil is. And Jesus did say that people would excommunicate them, cut them off from the community of the synagogue, and would actually think they were rendering a service to God, right? You know, and that happens.
Like we did God a favor. Or we did, we excommunicated the bad part, and God should love it.
Yeah. I mean, you do hear people like, we're going to pray and act like evil that they're doing is divinely ordained. It does happen. I mean, it's very twisted. That's what evil is. It takes a good thing, and it perverts it. That's what I mean when I say it has no existence on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks at a good and then tries to destroy the good.
Yes.
So as opposed to a good, which is, okay, we have no water here in sub-Saharan Africa, so we're going to dig a well, right, so that we can get water. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Putting poison in that well is the evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not. Yes. It doesn't exist on its own. Here's the facts. Matt, if we look at the apostles and see what they tried to do. You mentioned earlier about, well, how do you put flesh on that? And so it's not abstract, all of this, right? Like, it's...
How do you make it tangible?
Exactly. Well, and here's what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the lives of the apostles, think of Matthew, my namesake.
Mm-hmm.
He took the gospel, the good of the gospel, to Ethiopia, and he was martyred by a sword. If you look at Mark, who wrote the gospel, he was dragged through the streets of Alexandria until he died. It's a brutal death. These are brutal deaths.
Yeah.
Luke, who wrote a gospel, was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. Peter, as we know, was crucified upside down, as we talked about in one of the earlier episodes of this, in Rome. James was, the greater, was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the lesser was thrown from the top of the temple and then beaten to death down below.
Mm-hmm.
Philip was hanged on a tree in Phrygia. Bartholomew, and I think maybe even Thomas, Bartholomew I know for sure, was filleted alive.
Oh, yeah. Drawn and quartered is another term, or maybe...
No,
maybe
filleted like a fish.
Oh, okay.
You know, Thomas took the gospel to India. And some people claim, some historians said he was flayed alive, but I've also heard that, that he was killed with a sword as well. Andrew was bound on a cross, and he preached to his persecutors until he died. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. And all of these atrocities were done by people who said They were acting religiously. You know, so we shouldn't be surprised. Like, so the men who were sitting around that table when Jesus was speaking about this, with the obvious exception of Judas, they all got it. And then, after expressing this, Jesus says, I have to go to the Father. Because had he remained there, he would only be an example. And this is really, I could think, this is what the heart of Christianity is. If he remains with them, he's only a model to be copied.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right?
But if he leaves and sends the Spirit, he would be a life to be lived.
I love that.
You know, it's much different than, say, you know, I'm going to imitate the Eightfold Path to Peace that Buddha, the Buddha proposes. Like, this is different. This is something very unique. This is Christ living in us. So this, like Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. And so then, and this is where I think I want to get into the catechesis of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ gives us. This isn't Dave Parker or Father Matt Guckin giving us this. This is Jesus. And, you know, for those of you who are listening at home, I ask it at some point to go over this again in the middle of chapter 16. So it's really a threefold mission of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the mission of the Spirit would be one of convicting and proving the world to be wrong in three areas. Okay, this is right. This is just a little bit of reading into the gospel here. First of all, the world's view of sin. Second, the world's view of what's right, virtue. And finally, the world's view of judgment. And so the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is, and this is a message the world does not want. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is convict us of our sin. You know, so this is Jesus. This isn't Matt Guckin saying this. Only when we acknowledge our sins can we accept Jesus as our Savior. From what? From our sins. The second thing the Spirit does is to convince us of righteousness. That is, that Jesus Christ is right. Like, that's what's meant here. When we put all of our trust in the crucified Jewish criminal, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's right, and oftentimes I'm wrong. Unless I'm agreeing with him, then I'm right too. That's why I talked about the Eucharist. That I know I'm infallible with.
Yes.
Right? And then Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, whose great work is to bring God's truth to all. Why? Because he says in John 8:32, we covered a few sessions ago, the truth sets us free.
Yes.
You know? And there's a name for this. It's called revelation. And as a sign of his love for us, God chooses to reveal himself to us. And the fullness of this revelation is the very person of Jesus Christ, who is God. And therefore, the nearer we live to Jesus, the better we'll know him.
Yes.
And the more we know him, you know, the more peaceful our lives are. You know, the more time we spend with him. And then at the end, I think at the end of the chapter, we learn four things about Christ. First of all, despite his loneliness, and he is lonely, Jesus was never alone. He was always with the Father. Second, there's the forgiveness of Jesus. He loved his disciples and all their weakness. Matter of fact, he called them because of their weakness. He saw them and he loved them as they were. Third, there's the sympathy of Jesus. If Jesus hadn't foretold them of their weakness after they had realized how they had failed him, they may have been driven to utter and absolute despair. Here is divine pity. Jesus was thinking not of how their sins would hurt him, but how their sins would hurt them.
Oh, yes.
You know, like sometimes people, you know, will say, that really brings sadness to Jesus. Jesus doesn't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He says, your sins bring sadness to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that old adage that virtue is its own reward?
Yes.
Well, vice is its own punishment, you know? So,
yes, Father.
And then there's the gift of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Courage and conquest. You know, the world did its worst to him, and he emerged victorious. You know, so I think we need to take this all into account, especially when thinking about the Holy Spirit. It is actually very concrete. How do I know that? He's the one who just mapped it out for us.
Yes.
You know, talking about the role of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and what it does, convicting us of our sins and convincing us of his righteousness, that mm-hmm. he's right.
Yes.
This is what the Holy Spirit does. Right? This,
that's so his role.
That's what he does, yes.
Yeah.
Also, as you know, we'll hear elsewhere throughout the New... It's because of the Spirit that we're able to call Jesus Lord, but it really, that falls under this, that we're convinced of his righteousness.
Yes.
Right? So...
Well, Father Matt, that's a beautiful teaching.
Thank you.
Again.
Yeah.
As always.
Well, it's Jesus. You know?
And the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, and our bending of our minds and hearts to him, you know, because he wants what's best for mm-hmm. us.
And I just, I want to, well, invite our listeners, because I know there are many of you are enjoying this, and just send Holy Spirit Radio a word or a note or call us that you're enjoying this series.
Or if I'm wrong. You know,
with Father Matt Guckin, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if there's something you disagree with, let me know. I don't want to be... I used to say, I'm wearing, for those of you listening, I'm wearing my clerical clothes, obviously. And when I would talk to students when I taught, I would say, look, if I'm wrong, I'm willing... I just took my collar off. I'm willing to... I don't want to live a lie. You know, mm-hmm. I only get one life, too. Like, yeah. I'm not just selling the gospel, mm-hmm. so to speak. I'm also buying it.
Yes.
And doing my best to live it. So
And to preach it and to spread the word.
Yeah, and to convince others.
Yeah,
but I think the best way to convince others is to be convinced yourself.
Absolutely. Yes. And to listen to this series and continue listening to Holy Spirit Radio.
And again, if I'm doing something wrong, let me know.
Yeah.
If I'm off.
And EWTN and when in your parish, you know, you have questions, you know, float them up or ask the priest or the Monsignor or a deacon, because God wants you.
Yeah.
God loves you.
Yeah.
And we're here for you.
We want you to spread that love. You know, speaking of that, Dave, we have on October 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, we have Father Larry Richards, who's coming to our parish, Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
I heard of him.
He's excellent.
He is excellent.
I want to give a shout out to Lori Guest, our director of parish discipleship, for being able to get Father Larry to come mm-hmm. to our parish. So I just I invite everyone to come to listen to Father Larry talk about the love of Jesus, mm-hmm. the mercy of Jesus, and the joy of Jesus. Yeah. So please join us.
Yeah, you'll hear more coming up in the fall as we Holy Spirit Radio announce it.
Yeah, thank you.
So Father Matt, thank you for this this segment on our series, on your series, and you're a blessing.
Sure. Thank you very much, Dave. God bless everyone.
Talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio.